Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You want to deal with the best. Insurance is so important. Auto, home, life, business, bundles. Number one, at Purdy, you're going to deal with great people. There's really just good people. They're also really good at what they do. They find you the right insurance. If it's applicable, they find you the best price. And if you need them, they are there for you. They'll go to the wall for you. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We have two play-by-plays of the day. Number one, Williamsport last night. Cubs, Pirates. For some odd reason, the Pirates gave up a home run.
Here comes the pitch to Rizzo. He hits one to deep left center field. Going back is the center fielder, Marte. And this one is gone. Anthony Rizzo connects on a two-run shot. Cubs have blown the doors open here. A 7-0 lead now over the Pirates in the fifth.
On WSCR in Chicago, that was the Cubs winning 7-1. And now for the Chris Elio play-by-play call of the day.
Hammers this ball to left, and that's going to be number 40. Way back and long gone. Pete Alonso becomes just the fourth Met ever to have a 40 home run season. He's the first National League rookie to ever do it. And now that Mets single season franchise home run record is just two away from belonging to Alonso outright.
Your guy.
That's right. The polar bear.
Pete Alonso.
He's a beast, man. He's a beast.
He's your beast.
He's everybody's beast. Let's be real. Come on. Give credit where it's due. I mean, he's having a better year than Bryce Harper, and that guy's getting paid $300 million. Come on, get it real. Come on.
I feel like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. I don't care. All right, let's go to Philadelphia, bring in Matt Leon. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us, my friend.
Glad to be with you.
Josh McCown. Is it easier to list the number of places he hasn't played?
I think at this point. Serviceable backup. It'll be interesting to me. I think the story kind of here for me is not so much the first couple weeks of the season, but to see what they do when Nate Sudfeld is healthy. See if McCown remains the number two, or if they really are as invested as they've appeared to be in Sudfeld, and he stays the number two. It'll be interesting. It's a position you hope you don't need, but unfortunately, given Wentz's injury history the last couple of years, there's a good chance you will. The Eagles are spoiled with the security blanket of Nick Foles the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
So we will wait and see. But once it became apparent when Cody Kessler got hurt that if nothing else, they were going to need a signal caller just for practice rep purposes. McCown was a name that came up, but it will be intriguing to see how they handle this once everybody's healthy.
Well, this is one of the big arguments, obviously, against having an 18-game schedule, because you and I both know it always gets down to a backup quarterback for a team at some point, except for the Patriots, one year withstanding.
but everybody else seems to have to go to it. I mean, the bottom line is you need a guy, sometimes just for a game or two, and McCown's always been one of those guys, I think, and I'll welcome your opinion, that for a game or two you can survive with him.
Yeah, no, he does. He'll follow the script. He can make plays. He's a very good stopgap. Like you said, I think if it's one game or even a portion of a single game, you know, if it's a couple of series and stuff like that, I think you can feel very confident. I think anything past that, then you start, you know, starts getting exposed for the reason why he really hasn't ever been able to be a starter in the league. But, you know, in the short term, which is the most you ever hope you need a backup quarterback, I think he would do a fine job. Now, I think the biggest challenge for the Eagles is just getting them up to speed on everything they want to do offensively and verbiage and stuff like that.
Anything you want to see from the Eagles going into preseason game three that you haven't seen in the first two?
Really, I think you just want to see everyone stay healthy. I would usually game three is the one that's the closest to a regular season game. I don't know that it'll be much different for the Eagles. I don't know that they're going to, you know, I don't know if we're going to see Wentz at all this preseason. I thought, at, you know, when camp started, I thought we would, but, you know, seeing two other quarterbacks, seeing the Eagles get a quarterback hurt in each of the first two preseason games, you know, it's a very strong argument to say, you know what, Carson Wentz knows the offense. If we know he's healthy, we feel pretty good that we only need him to start week one. So it'll be interesting to see if they give, you know, some of the starters that have sat out the first two preseason games some time just to get them some reps in at full speed. But I think it's also very possible we kind of see the same rotations that we saw the first two games. I think the dynamic of these preseason games is changing quickly. And I think the changing of this dynamic as far as teams like just not playing guys, that is what will change the four preseason game schedule more than anything else is, you know, if these become just games for the, you know, players 50 through 90 on the roster, I think that will end up shortening the preseason more than anything else would.
How interested are you to see the beginning of the season, the first 2 weeks, in terms of how guys play without preseason games? What kind of tackling do you see without preseason games? The guys that have been held out, how interested are you to see as to what it does, quote, to the game?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see if it does, I don't want to say lower the quality, but if it's more fits and starts than you would maybe expect. But is a couple of ragged series as opposed to the idea of somebody getting hurt in a meaningless preseason game, getting lost for the season.
Right.
You know, it's probably a trade-off that just about everyone would have. And I think every time you see somebody get hurt, tear an ACL or whatever it would may be in one of these games, I think you see every other team in the league kind of pull back the reins even a little further. And, you know, maybe we're going to play this guy game three. Hey, you know what? Really not that important. Maybe we'll just go a little harder at practice. And, you know, that it's going to be interesting to see how this changes, because I feel like it has changed quickly, where, you know, there used to be a certain rhythm that, you know, first game the starters would play the first series, second game they would play the first quarter, third game they play into the third quarter, and then the fourth game nobody played. And now it really kind of feels like every game's much closer to the fourth game, where it's just the guys fighting for roster spots than it is the third. And it's going to be interesting to see if that quickly spreads throughout the league. And once it does, it's really something. I don't even want to say addressed, because I don't want to say it like it's a bad thing.
Right.
But it's something that we don't need four games of battles for the seventh offensive lineman, which is basically what it would be boiling down to.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting about that is I think a lot of this comes down to data from Sports Performance. You know, they'll put chips into uniforms and so forth to get a read and feel as to what your exhaustion level is, essentially, what your heart rate, so forth. There are a lot of things that they give you on the readout. I think teams have been smart about paying attention to it.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, don't you think? I mean, I'm sure Penn does this.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think it's that. I think it's, you know, the money that guys are getting paid, and specifically at the quarterback position, it's just so vital to everything that it's just not worth taking a chance, even if it's three handoffs, you know, and say goodbye. It's just not worth, you know, because you've got an interesting dynamic. when you, you know, on a normal preseason game, you've got the starters who are trying, I don't want to, they're not playing not to get hurt, because that's how you end up getting hurt, but who are just trying to play to get up to speed, get some reps in. And a lot of times we're going against guys who are desperate trying to make a roster. So you got a guy going full throttle against a guy who probably subconsciously is going three-quarter speed. And it just, a lot of times we'll have guys maybe hit a snap after the whistle, stuff like that. And, you know, because of this odd dynamic and what everybody's trying to, what everyone is trying to get done under the same circumstances, and it's a vastly different, it's a quite the divide over what's important for the starters as opposed to guys trying to make the team. And it's just not, you know, just not worth it.
No, it's not. It's not worth it at this point. Has there been anybody in a preseason game so far you said, okay, that looks good, that looks like a better player than I saw last year just based on game performance?
I don't know so much in the games. I think a name to watch because of the, as good a camp he's had for the Eagles, Rasul Douglas. Third-year cornerback. They've got a lot of talent in the defensive backfield, the Eagles, specifically a corner. I think they got to figure out how it's going to play out. With, you know, you got Ronald Darby still working his way back from injury and stuff like that. But Douglas has turned some heads. He's a big cover. He's a ball hawk. So he could be a guy that, you know, we're familiar with and you've seen play, but he could be posed, could be poised to really maybe break through and become kind of a key to that defense rather than just a periphery part.
One of the great moments of the season in baseball is the walk-off grand slam hit by Bryce Harper the other day. I thought that would be a jump start for this team when something happens. And then the Padres won the next couple of games. What is it to you about the Phillies that is there and what's not there?
I just think they're, this is just who they are. They've just got enough holes in the lineup. You know, like right now, you know, Harper hit that grand slam. For about four or five games there, Harper and JT Realmuto were both red hot. But Rhys Hoskins is about as cold as I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've lost. It's interesting. The guy that was really giving them a burst was Roman Quinn, and he's gotten hurt again. Michael Franco's in the minor, so all of a sudden you look up and, you know, guys like Sean Rodriguez have to start, and, you know, Adam Haseley, who struggles against lefties, has to be in the lineup because they don't have any other choices. You know, they just are what they are. But real, you know, like they were, everything was going well, and then Saturday they're up 3-0 against the Padres, and Zach Eflin, who looked like, you know, 2.5 months ago, like he was ready to really emerge as a, maybe not a star, but an above-average starting pitcher, suddenly is a guy that can't get through a lineup two times. And, you know, he fell apart, I think it was the fourth inning, and the Phillies went to another failed starter, and Nick Pivetta is following up in the bullpen, and all of a sudden a 3-0 lead was a 5-3 deficit. And honestly, you kind of feel like the Phillies haven't recovered since then. It just really took the air out of the sails and all the momentum that had been generated by that Cubs sweep, and you mentioned the Harper grand slam or whatever, it all seemed to fade away. Now, conversely, you know, it maybe kind of says something about the chemistry or the texture of this team that, you know, they're that easily put into a funk. Like, you know, yes, Eflin and Pivetta's performances were disappointing, but you would hope that wouldn't be enough to, you know, pull the plug on what had been a really encouraging 4 or 5 days of baseball. But this is what they are. Every time it seems like they've really got it going, they either run into a wall offensively where they struggle getting the ball out of the infield, or they get a mediocre pitching performance that you know, turns the table on them. So they're going to be in this, they're going to be in this race till the end, whether they like it or not. And you know, we'll just see if they can piece it together enough to get in there. They got a little jump, like with Charlie Manuel taking over as hitting coach, but the last couple games, you know, Saturday and Sunday against the Padres, were very reminiscent of what we've seen the first 4 months.
It just tells me that the rebuild, I think, got off to a really good start, but it also tells me the rebuild is far from complete. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they, you know, they've had a lot of guys that have washed out. I think they'd hoped for a lot for Nick Williams. Yeah. You know, we've all kind of forgotten about, you know, Odubel Herrera, who has been sidelined, rightfully so, for the allegations of the domestic violence. But even purely from a baseball standpoint, he had taken three steps backwards the last year. You know, he was hitting like 212. So a lot of guys they had counted on haven't come through. Scott Kingery was kind of the success story when it came to improvement this year, but he's regressed now the last month or so. He's down into the 260s. It's fits and starts. They're just inconsistent, and I think we've got enough of a sample size that they are what they are.
Yeah, and that's the issue right there. Very quickly, how do you feel about still a couple weeks ago for Penn Place? How do you feel about them, the team you're going to be broadcasting?
They'll be solid. They always are. It's going to come back down to the quarterback situation. They've got a couple of guys that I think they're waiting for one of the guys to grab the job. And if they get good quarterback play, you know, in the Ivy League, that's going to be key. If it's inconsistent quarterback play, it's an uphill climb. But a tough start to the season. They open at Delaware on September 21st. Wow. So we will learn a lot right away.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
Matt Leon in Philadelphia, back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The commercial is about Lowe's bags of mulch. So I probably bought 40 of them this summer, and I've been spreading it around the yard. It's one other area I had to do. So I bought 3 bags, figured it would be enough, and it was. Unfortunately, I spread it in an area, like, internally in the bush area, and, of course, there were bees, and I got stung. Okay, great. So, again, what's the lesson there? The lesson is to call a landscaper and tell them to do it.
If you're Steve Jones, you should have people doing this for you. How many times do I have to say that?
Everybody knows I do all my... I remember one... This is a true story. Sue. At the Sue. He said, what are you going to be doing this weekend? I said, I got to go out and cut my lawn. He goes, you cut your own lawn? I'm like, what? It's some sort of sacred thing in life. I'm like, yeah, I cut my own lawn. Of course I do. Jeez.
I have a suit story from this morning, actually.
Oh, go ahead.
I was here super early, and it was kind of funny because so we had this in the 85th district. I'm sure you've been hearing the commercials. They're all slandering each other, and they have the I hear the extreme, you know, socialist, and the other one's going, I can't believe this. Anyway, so we had the 3 candidates in for the 85th district today, and they did a thing on the Mark. Anyway, long story short, one of the candidates' campaign manager was here, and they had set him up in the conference room. Well, Kevin was having a sales call in there, or whatever, or a sales meeting, and somebody they were discussing where to put this guy, and he's like, well, you know, if he wants to buy something. He's like, he's trying to pitch this guy. I'm like, he's a campaign manager. He's like, well, if he wants to buy something, I'll listen. Or if he wants to pitch me something, I'll listen. And I was like, all right.
That's our guy.
Yeah, and Sean thought it was hilarious. Sean Carey thought it was the funniest thing he ever heard. So, you know.
That is our guy in a nutshell.
That's
who,
right.
By the way, probably was not in a good mood.
No.
Because he went to the IndyCar deal yesterday.
No, he walked in and screamed willpower.
And they could not... get out of the first lap.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't happy. He wasn't thrilled this morning, that's for sure. So.
Hey, they couldn't get out of the first lap. I mean, it's like, these are the best drivers in the world, can't even make it halfway around the track.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have done a great job over the years of making sure their customers are covered. Auto, home, life, business, bundles, whatever it may be. They'll find you the right insurance, the best price, update when needed. And if there's ever the need for a claim, you want to talk about a group that'll work for you, it's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. Off day today for Penn State football after they scrimmaged last night in the stadium. So they'll get a chance now to get an off day, and then they start to make the transition. Before this week is out, the transition is going to be made to the game week routine to get ready for Idaho in the opener. It's part of the pattern that I've always had since James has been here, where they'll put in a bonus day here and a bonus day there for prep for the opener. But there is a point where you have to do it, and one of the keys to the point of doing it is making sure that when you get to your opener, you have legs. Preseason can be long. It can be grueling at times. And it has not been the coolest August on the planet. The last couple weeks there have been a few hot days over the past couple weeks. And in fact, they were going to scrimmage yesterday in the afternoon, and they moved it to the night because of the heat.
Oh, it's been brutal. I can't imagine.
Well, I mean, but there's some days where it's been great. It's been the upper 70s. I mean, we've talked a couple times about how nice the weather's been. The humidity has not been bad, but yesterday was an exception. It turns out today's hot, but today was a built-in off day anyway. I mean, this is a built-in off day to begin with. Even though they're not in class, you just wanted to keep the same pattern of doing that. They'll get back to work tomorrow and go from there. I think you're pretty much at this point, 2 to 2.5 weeks in, you have a pretty good idea who the top 53 guys happen to be. How about that?
Yeah, probably.
You're saying 53, because I'm thinking about sub-packages, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They use during the course of a game. And so you're trying to think about all personnel that could potentially play in a game. People are in special teams. So you're talking about maybe 55 guys. And I think there's a pretty good read now on who those guys are. Now it's a question of what order they're in. And you know darn well, as a staff, they have a pretty good idea themselves about what order most of this is in. But the key is determining who you trust to play and in what situation. That's what they need to do. Who do you trust and in what situation?
And there was a lot of turnover this year for them, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've talked about the two lines. The two lines, and I don't mean offensive and defensive line. The two lines I talk about happen to be the talent and athleticism line. That line to me is really high on the graph. Really high. And the 40 camps I've been around, this might be the deepest team in terms of athleticism and talent I've seen. But let's get back to your point, which is a really good point, and that is the experience level. That line can only meet the talent and athleticism line by playing. There are several players that have either played some football and some that haven't played any football on this level. Let's give an example. Trent Gordon as a corner. Hey, Trent Gordon has a chance to play in some games this year. Jaquan Brisker. Well, Gordon is a redshirt freshman. Played in a couple games last year. And Brisker is a junior college player. Well, guess what? You know, when you look at that, do they both have elements of their game where you say, you know what? Look like a couple of players right there. Yeah. But how much game experience do they have? Not a lot. C.J. Thorpe, for example, I think is very talented. So is Mike Miranda. So is Rasheed Walker. When you look at them, you say, talent. I mean, Walker's got a lot of talent. Miranda I really like, and I think Thorpe's got that streak everybody wants to see an offensive lineman. But, again, despite those words of praise, what they don't have is they don't have a lot of game reps.
Right, so you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. So Walker played in two games briefly at the end a couple times. Miranda did start against Maryland, played well. Thorpe had to play defensive tackle last year. All right, so like a guy like, I mean, who's the best offensive lineman Penn State has? Michael Mennett. Michael Mennett is clearly the best offensive lineman Penn State has. I mean, he is really, really good. He also has a lot of reps. Let's see. You go to the defensive front. We know what Gross Matos can do. What do we know about Shaka Toney on an every play basis? Despite the fact Shane Simmons has been here for a while, Shane Simmons does not have a lot of game experience yet. Jason Oway played in four games last year. Now, all four of those guys are incredibly talented. I mean, Oway, Simmons, Toney, Matos. Yet, Shaka has, on this experience scale, Yetur would be one as a true junior. Shaka's been here, yes, but Shaka's been situational. Simmons has been in and out of the lineup because he's been banged up, so he's had limited reps, and Owe played in the requisite four games last year to maintain freshman eligibility. So, yes. I mean, and then there's Daniel Joseph. I never want to leave him. I never want to leave Daniel Joseph out because he's going to play. But again, the same story. Five really talented, athletic guys on the edge. And with game experience, they're just going to get better and better and better. Now you go to linebacker. Jan's played a lot. Ellis Brooks has played a lot. You're okay in the middle. Cam Brown has played a lot, obviously. Parsons, the Parsons I'm seeing today compared to the Parsons I saw at 1 year ago today, man, what a difference. What a difference a year makes. Now you look at, okay, Charlie Catcher hasn't played. Okay, Lucchetta was mostly on special teams. But believe me, those guys, I mean, you know, the idea is keeping people fresh. The door's open to them playing. But again, they need game reps. So everywhere, you know, Shorter needs game reps. Daniel George needs game reps. But are they talented and athletic? Yes. So for Penn State, the talent and athleticism line, I've never seen, to me personally, by my personal observation, I've never seen the line higher. The experience line, which obviously is going to be ascending, right? Now the question is, how rapid is the ascent where the experience line meets the talent and athleticism line? Is it in such a way where things really kick into gear for a lot of these guys, and all of a sudden it meets in mid-September? Does it take a little longer and meets in October? Does it take a little longer and meets in November? That's the part we won't know until we watch play. And all of us will watch it together. You're not going to need me to sit here and say, hey, do you see it now? I mean, you're not going to need me to say that. You'll see it for yourself. You guys are all good, solid football observers. You guys know what you're watching.
Or at least we pretend to be.
No, but you know what you're looking at. You can see when a team's getting to be good. You can see that. I'm talking about what I've seen that you haven't had a chance to see yet. All right? And so the fans haven't had a chance to see that. Now, again, what's the part that, it's all about getting game reps. Do I think like a guy like Damian Barber is better than he was last year? Damian Barber's not going to start, but Damian Barber is going to play a lot. To me, those top 44 guys are all starters because they all play. They all are going to play. Football is no longer a 22 versus 22 game. Football today is now in a lot of ways a 55 versus 55 game. And when I was talking about defensive end, I mentioned five guys, didn't I?
Right.
I didn't mention four.
Right.
Okay? I didn't mention two. I didn't mention four. I mentioned five.
So what are your expectations for this team then? Like, what do you think they can achieve?
If they stay healthy, which is the same for every team in the country. So that's the stat. I don't care whether it's Bucknell with Dave Cicchini.
Yeah, that's a given.
Okay? Or it's Bucknell for Dave Cicchini or Ryan Day at Ohio State. Even Alabama, okay? You stay healthy. Remember Alabama one year, like 2-3 years ago, lost almost all their linebackers? They're
right.
Not immune. They're not immune to injuries.
Plus, they have a major, like, fall-off if Tua were to get hurt at quarterback. I mean, there's a massive
Sure.
Fall
and so,
off.
So for anybody, the establishes, you know, if you stay away from injuries. So once you get rid of that caveat, Penn State has a chance, I think, to be a very, very good football team this season because of the talent. I just think they need game experience. I think once the game experience meets the talent, I think they've got something where it's going to be, whoa, look at this group. Now, the question's going to be, how long does it take to get there? And that question on how long does it take to get there is going to determine exactly what that record happens to be. Right. And because there's some raw talent out there. You're like, I'll give you an example. I don't think it's difficult for a Penn State fan to not understand that Jason Oway is a talent. You saw it briefly in the games you saw last year. I'm sure people have seen his 40 time, which for a defensive end is just a, quote, freakish number.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect example of once he plays a lot and takes all that talent and athleticism and it translates into it being a really good football player, whoa, they have a chance to have some really good returners. I think they have a chance, you know, they have a veteran punter. I think they've got an addition in kicking now, especially on kickoffs, that I think can be a difference maker in Jordan Stout. Let me explain the Stout thing for a moment so everyone understands. Why is Stout eligible now if he's only a redshirt sophomore? He is not a grad transfer. There was a rule, and I believe the rule was put in last year, that if you are a walk-on at one school and you were offered a scholarship to transfer to another school, you're eligible to play right away. You don't have to sit out a year. So if it turns out you're a walk-on, okay, so Chris, you're a walk-on this year and you're a walk-on at Auburn. You put your name into the transfer portal, because walk-ons can do that too. They can put their name in the transfer portal. So you put your name into the transfer portal, and Georgia doesn't just want you, but they're going to give you a scholarship. You're eligible right away. So you're not going scholarship to scholarship where you'd have to sit out. You're going walk-on to scholarship. You get to play right away. So that's why Stout's eligible right now.
Sounds
just
fair.
Just thought I'd explain that.
Well,
so that's why, you know, they say, he's not a grad. He's a redshirt sophomore. He graduated already? Fair point, fair question. Well, that's the reason why.
Well, you can come back to school if you didn't play your years, right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. The guy went to school for education.
And walked on was paying his own way. Now somebody else is offered a scholarship because Virginia Tech wasn't getting him a scholarship.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's actually very impressive, actually.
Yeah.
So
I mean that to me is a quote player friendly rule.
Sure.
And I'll get to another point about walk ons that to me changed a lot of things. And this may sound simple, but when they allow walk ons to get training table, wow, that to me was a big moment. If they're going to give you a locker and then they're going to tell you that at 6 a.m. everybody's running and you have to run, and if they tell you at 8 a.m. everybody has to lift and you have to lift, right, even though you're not on scholarship, okay, food is your nutrition, which is your refueling, which is part of your training. Now, that they changed this rule a couple of years ago, but I'm so glad they did. It just makes complete sense. And I like this transfer rule on walk-ons, too. I think it's... If now suddenly out of nowhere somebody offers you a scholarship, what, you should be in dry dock for a year?
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah.
No. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. Well, now it's not. They've done a good job of changing it.
Sure,
we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
This was the entrance music for the suit into the staff meeting this morning, and he did it moonwalking going backwards. It's tremendous.
It's tremendous.
I'll give you one on walk-up music. You'll like this story. Troy Tulowitzki, who just retired.
Yes, he
Tulowitzki.
Did.
Tulowitzki had a very good major league career. His career in Colorado was terrific. He was good with Toronto until, you know, injuries got him. And then with the Yankees, you know, just at that, you know, he crossed the line in terms of age and injuries.
It seemed like he got old fast, too. It was weird.
You know, if you remember, I mean, Tulowitzki in 2007 was playing in the World Series for the Rockies.
Right, he was 22. He started early.
Yeah, he's been around a while. When Troy Tulowitzki was in Colorado, you know, all the players picked their walk-up music. And he changed up every couple, 3 weeks, and it was always one kid song after another. So somebody finally asked him one time, what's the deal with all the kids' music? He says, because what happens is the kids in the ballpark love it. They start jumping up and down. They start getting into it, and it's really fun for them. That's why he picked it.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's why he picked it. He said it would be fun for the kids. He said, I don't care what I walk up to.
Right. Exactly. Right? Who cares? And,
yeah. He said it's just really fun for the kids. That's why he would rotate what his walk-up music was, and it was always kids stuff.
It's pretty tremendous.
Well, that's why we have this show. We can explain such things to
you. That's right. Well, we educate. That's what we do here.
Yeah. Let's see. High school football starts on Friday night.
Friday Night Lights, baby. Back again.
I can already hear it now. Oh, I got 1,000 things to do.
Touchdown! 1,000. He's awesome. Love Kevin Herr. That guy kills, man.
In fact, by the time he's done saying touchdown, Shikalemi, right, we're already into the third series of the game.
Oh, come on. Guys, he's good. Hey, come on. Give credit.
It's a little drawn out.
Oh, he kills, man. I don't like I'm not a high school football guy, and then I moved here, and I was wow.
He does a great job.
Oh, you people are serious about this.
So does Pat O'Brien, you know, Justin Michaels. We have some really good play-by-play
Yes,
people.
We do. We definitely do. We're lucky here.
Really, really good.
And we have you.
The
great Steve Jones.
I'm just show up on Saturdays.
Yes. So. This is the portion of the show where we shine your apple.
Oh, yeah. 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 I wake up every day hoping to get to that moment. All right. Now, Jack and I were both there last night. We watched them. I mean, Jack and I both feel the same way. Jack and I probably talked for, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes this morning about some of our observations about the team. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that the two of us talk about the athleticism, right, and the experience lines, because, you know, I just went through guys in terms of experience levels, but there's talent. And it's amazing. I mean, just look at the transformation of an ultra-talented player like Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is an ultra-talented player. There's no getting around it. And Micah, as a linebacker, because he had never played in space before, where he is now and where he was a year ago, they are not even in the same ballpark. Even a guy
that is used to playing a position. Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson will be the first to tell you that where he is as a player today compared to where he was a year ago, he says he doesn't even want to watch himself on tape because he thinks it would be silly.